Actually, this is, we should properly commence the study of the Srimad Bhagavatam with Bhagavat Shastra Puja. Because basically today we're beginning to read the Bhagavatam again, first canto, first verse. So if we had nice mala, chandan, kunkum, chavo, all these things, tulsi, patra, sweet, we could do puja to the Bhagavatam, because the Bhagavatam is Krishna Sarup. It is the very form of Krishna. And we're beginning now to study the Bhagavatam for the next so many months and years. We were at the 10th canto, now we're back to the 1st canto. So it may be another 15 years before we get to the 10th canto again. Because basically the classes were going from 1970, and by the year 2000 we were at the 10th canto, 9th and 10th canto around the world. So it took 20 years, 25 years to get to the 10th canto. Now we're back to the 1st canto. So we won't again hear from the 10th canto for 25 years. Some of us won't even be here. Maybe I won't even be here. So now we're together at the 1st canto, 1st verse. Janmad yasya yataha. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Translation. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. O my Lord, Sri Krishna, son of Vasudeva, O all-pervading personality of Godhead, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. I meditate upon Lord Sri Krishna because he is the absolute truth and the primeval cause of all causes of the creation, sustenance, and destruction of the manifested universes. He is directly and indirectly conscious of all manifestations. And Krishna is independent because there is no other cause beyond him. It is Krishna only who first imparted the Vedic knowledge unto the heart of Brahmaji, the original living being. By Krishna, even the great sages and demigods are placed into illusion, as one is bewildered by the illusory representations of water seen in fire, or land seen on water. Only because of Krishna, through the material universes, temporarily manifested by the reactions of the three modes of nature, appear factual, although they are unreal. I therefore meditate upon him, Lord Sri Krishna, who is eternally existent in the transcendental abode, which is forever free from the illusory representations of the material world. I meditate upon Krishna, for he is the absolute truth. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Obeisances unto the personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, directly indicate Lord Sri Krishna, who is the divine son of Vasudeva and Devaki. This fact will be more explicitly explained in the text of this work, Srimad Bhagavatam. Sri Vyasadeva asserts herein that Sri Krishna is the original personality of Godhead, and all others are his direct or indirect plenary portions or portions of the portion. Prabhupada gives an 8-page purport to this verse. This same verse was spoken on by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati for 2 months. In one verse, one shloka, he spoke for 2 months. So Prabhupada is going through the individual words of the verse and explaining over 8 pages, very lengthy purport, the meaning of this first shloka. For someone who has another Ishtadev, when they read the first line of this the first shloka of the Bhagavatam, they may put the Bhagavatam down. Because the Bhagavatam, in the very first shloka, Vyasadeva, he's establishing what is the subject matter of this book. What am I going to explain here? If you read the Chaitanya Charitamrita closely, you'll see that Krishnadas Kaviraj, he begins each chapter of the Bengali Chaitanya Charitamrita, he begins with a Sanskrit shloka. And in that Sanskrit shloka, he summarizes the main points, main philosophical, you can say, tattva, the siddhanta, or the tattva of that chapter, and the lila of that chapter, in one Sanskrit shloka that precedes each chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So here, this is a book of 18,000 shlokas, Srimad Bhagavatam. It is written by Srila Vyasadeva. So in the very first shloka, he wants to establish this book, Srimad Bhagavatam, is about Vasudeva. It is about Krishna. It is not about Lord Shiva. It is not about Durga Devi. It is not about Brahma. It is not about Surya. It is not about Indra. It is about Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So therefore, in the first two sentences, Prabhupada comments that he's opening the book, that Vyasadeva is opening his book with a shloka from Pancharatrika literatures. This shloka is also there, Narada Pancharatra, and other literatures. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So he's saying, this is my Ishtadev. Because there's another Bhagavat also called Devi Bhagavat. And if you read the Devi Bhagavat, it is not about Vasudeva, it is about Devi. The Devi Bhagavat. This is the Srimad Bhagavat. Bhagavat Puran. And so who is that Bhagavan? Who is that great personality is being glorified here? Is it Durga or Devi? Is it Bhagavan Narada or Bhagavan Shiva? No, it is the Vasudeva. It is the Swayam Bhagavan, which he will get to very soon. He'll explain. So Prabhupada, he's establishing that this book, Srimad Bhagavatam, is about the son of Devaki and Vasudeva, who appeared in Vrindavan and had so many wonderful Madhurya Leelas. So this, and if someone is not interested in that, if they're not interested to hear the mahima or the glories, the lakshana, the characteristics and glories of Krishna, and they do not accept him, Krishna, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then they will say, oh, this book is about that, oh, I won't read any further. I have no interest in Bhagavan Sri Krishna. I do not accept Bhagavan Sri Krishna. Bhagavan Sri Krishna, he is the eighth avatar of Vishnu. He is an avatar of Vishnu. He is some minor expansion of Vishnu. I don't accept Krishna as the paratattva. I don't accept that Krishna, because we see in many writings, they'll describe that Vishnu is supreme. The supreme is Vishnu, and Krishna is simply an avatar, an incarnation of Vishnu. But you see here, Srila Vyasadeva, who is compiling the Vedic literature, he wants to let us know that this is a book about Vasudeva, Devaki Nandan, Yashoda Nandan, Krishna. And he is the Supreme. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So what we'll do is we'll read a little bit of the purport and discuss, because it's a very long purport. Srila Jiva Goswami has even more explicitly explained the subject matter in his Krishna Sandarbha. In other words, in the Sandarbhas, in the Krishna Sandarbha specifically, Jiva Goswami establishes that Krishna, he is the Supreme. Because often there's many arguments among munis and rishis, who is actually the Supreme God? Who is the topmost form of the Absolute Truth? Is it Vishnu? Is it Mahavishnu? Is it Narayan? Is it Shirdakshay Vishnu? Is it Indra? Is it Brahma? Who is actually the Supreme? So in the Krishna Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami, he explains by quoting different Vedic literatures to show that Krishna, that this form, Krishna, Tribhanga Lalitam, this Shamsundar Krishna, he is the actual topmost form and the Supreme Absolute Truth and the source of all other expansions. And Brahma, the original living being, has explained the subject of Krishna substantially in his book known as Brahma Samhita. In the Samaveda Upanishad, it is also stated that Lord Sri Krishna is the divine son of Devaki. Therefore, in this prayer, the first proposition holds that Lord Sri Krishna is the primeval Lord. And if any transcendental nomenclature is to be understood as belonging to the absolute personality of Godhead, it must be the name indicated by the word Krishna, which means the all-attractive. In Bhagavad Gita, in many places, the Lord asserts himself to be the original personality of Godhead. And this is confirmed by Arjuna and also by great sages like Narada, Vyasa, and many others. In the Padma Purana, it is also stated that out of the innumerable names of the Lord, the name of Krishna is the principal one. Vasudeva indicates the plenary portion of the personality of Godhead. And all the different forms of the Lord being identical with Vasudeva are indicated in this verse. The name Vasudeva particularly indicates the divine son of Vasudeva and Devaki. Sri Krishna is always meditated upon by the Paramahamsas, who are the perfected ones among those in the renounced order of life. Vasudeva, or Lord Sri Krishna, is the cause of all causes. Everything that exists emanates from the Lord. How this is so is explained in later chapters of this work. So in this verse is explaining that Krishna is that Vasudeva is the cause of all causes. Everything is coming from him. This line, Janmad Yasya Yataha. Prabhupada wants you to see what Prabhupada's doing here in the first three paragraphs of the purport. He's taking the word Vasudeva, which is used by Vyasadeva, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And he's establishing right away that Vasudeva means Krishna. This is the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, the Hare Krishna movement. When Prabhupada first started his spiritual society, he called it the League of Devotees. And he started in Jhansi. But somehow, Prabhupada's conception changed, and when he went to America, he no longer wanted to call his society League of Devotees. He wanted to start an international society to spread love of God. So his friends in New York, Yogi Mishra and others, they advised, why don't you call it the International Society of Divine Love, or the International Society of God Consciousness? And Prabhupada said, no, I want to call it the International Society of Krishna Consciousness, for Krishna Consciousness. International Society for Krishna Consciousness, right? So they were arguing, his friends were saying, no, if you use the word Krishna, you'll be restricting. You'll be making your society restricted or exclusive. But then people that worship Lord Vishnu, or people that worship any other form of Godhead, they will not be attracted to your society. They will think, oh, this Bhaktivedanta Swami, he started a sectarian movement, this Krishna Consciousness, International Society for Krishna Consciousness. If you say God Consciousness, then so many more people will be attracted, you'll be much more effective and much more successful in your endeavor for your spiritual mission, if you call it God Consciousness. But Prabhupada was adamant, he was insistent, that no, it must be Krishna. Because Prabhupada, nana shastra vichara naika nipano siddharma samstapako, like the six Goswamis before him, Srila Prabhupada had deeply studied all the books of the Goswamis and all the different Puranas and Upanishads. And he understood from the Siddhanta, or the conclusion of all Vedic studies, is that the perfect name of Godhead, the topmost expression of God, and the perfect name of God is Krishna. There is no better word. Govinda, Damodar, Shamasundar, Vasudev, Narayan, Vishnu, all these names are expanded from this name Krishna, but they're all included in the name of Krishna. The word Krishna is Akila Rasamrita Murti. It is the form, it is the Murti. This word Krishna is actually Krishna himself. It is the supreme form of the Lord. So Prabhupada shows that, yes, This our society must be known as the society, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, because Krishna is the perfect word, as one God brother Prabhupada described God. He said, God is Sri Krishna, reality the beautiful. Reality the beautiful. Because if you take any other word, if you take any other Sanskrit word or nam to describe the absolute truth or to describe God, then you will find that there is some limitation there. Either limitation in tattva or limitation in rasa. So these are the two considerations, the rasa, the lila and rasa of the Lord, or the truth, or the siddhanta, the actual position, the existential truth, or the reality of Godhead, His gunas, His qualities, His actions, His activities. This is His tattva. So in consideration of tattva and lila, Krishna is the supreme word, is the perfect word. So therefore later, now, Vyasa Muni is saying, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. He's using this famous shloka to glorify the Lord. That then later, he will take the word Vasudeva and say, actually, my book will not be about Vasudeva, my book will be about Krishna. Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. In a few verses later, he will say, Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. That the Swayam Bhagavan is Krishna. So even Vyasa Muni, he will, in a few verses, in a few chapters, I believe, he will establish that the Godhead, the supreme name of Godhead is Krishna. And when you see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when Radharani is overwhelmed, when she's completely overwhelmed in separation from Krishna, and her mind and senses are completely lost in absorption of the Supreme Lord, She doesn't cry out to Govinda, she doesn't cry out to Damodar or Madhav. She simply cries out Krishna. There's no other word, because the word Krishna contains all the ecstasies of Radharani. The word Krishna contains all the pastimes that Radharani experiences and shares with the Supreme Lord. And the name of Krishna actually resonates and expresses the very heart of Srimati Radharani. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was totally absorbed, completely submerged in this Radha Bhav, in this mood of Radharani searching for Krishna, then he's going through South India, his arms are raised, he's reaching for the Lord. When you're looking for something, you don't put your hands in your pocket and walk around, you know, put your two hands in your pocket, well, I lost something, I wonder where it is. If you have lost something, if you are separated from something that is dear to you, if you have lost something that is meaningful to you and valuable to you, you won't put your hands in your pocket and walk around, well, I wonder where it is. I wonder where is my, you know, I had this one, box of, or one, you know, sachet, I had this one pouch full of money, full of Lakshmi, 5 lakhs of rupees. I wonder where it is. No, if you have lost something and you're searching for it, your hands will be out, not inside. Your hands will be out. You'll be looking everywhere. Your hands will be lifting everything, lifting the pillow, lifting this, lifting that, reaching. You'll be looking everywhere in this dimension, in length and width. You'll be looking to the north. Your hands will extend north, south, in all directions. Looking, where is that money? Where is my jewelry, my necklace, my ring, my watch, my whatever valuable thing I lost? You'll be looking. Is it here? Where is it? Where is it? Hey, you have it? Oh, it's in your pocket. And then when you become totally exasperated and totally frustrated and you can't find that object, when you look in the plane, when you look in this horizontal plane, this is the horizontal plane, and you look everywhere and you become totally in a state of lamenting and anxiety, then you'll put your hands over your head and say, oh God, where is that thing I lost? Where is my money? Where is my whatever? So in this mood, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his hands are above his head and he's searching. He's already searched the entire world. He has gone with his hands, he's gone up to everyone and said, can you show me Krishna? Where is Krishna? As soon as he entered in this, when he was initiated, by Ishwarapuri, and he came back from Gaya. Then he went to Gadadhar, and he said, Where is Krishna? He said, where is Krishna? He was asking, he put his hands out to Gadadhar, Gadadhar, where is Krishna? I can't find him. He was asking everybody, where is Krishna? And then Gadadhar said, he's in your heart. Krishna's in your heart. Tene Brahma Rida. Krishna's in your heart. Entered the heart, from the heart of Brahma he spoke. So then when Mahaprabhu heard that from Gadadhar, immediately he started to rip open his chest. Oh, Krishna's in my heart, Krishna. And Gadadhar stopped him, stop. Don't destroy yourself. You have a mission to perform. You have to take this searching mood. You have to take this searching mood all over India. You have to engage the whole world in searching for Krishna. You can't just rip open your heart and destroy yourself and find Krishna in your heart and join with Krishna and have union with Krishna in your heart and leave this world with your mission unfulfilled. Your mission is prema dharma. You have to search for yourself. You are Krishna in the mood of Radharani, searching for yourself, searching for Krishna. So Mahaprabhu, when he was wandering all over South India, he was searching everywhere, and his arms are raised up to the heavens. His arms are raised up to the heavens, and he's crying out in the mood of Radha, Radharani separated from Krishna, 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 hey. Searching, where is Krishna? So this is the word. This is the Naam, the Prem Naam, Mukhya Naam that is used by Radharani when she's in separation, mood from Krishna. She doesn't say, oh, Govinda, 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 Hari, Hari, Hari. It's Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Intense separation. So this Prabhupada is explaining here. Prabhupada is also in that mood of in separation from Krishna. This is the mood of the Acharyas in the Gaudiya Sampradaya. Beginning with Gauranga Mahaprabhu, he's in an intense mood of Krishna, of Radharani separated from Krishna, searching for Krishna. The Bhakta searching for Bhagavan. The Param Bhakta is Radharani searching for Bhagavan Krishna. Hey Krishna, 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 hey, you're my protector. You're my Rakshamam. Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, 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 Rakshamam, Pahimam. You're my protector, you're my everything. Where are you? So Prabhupada is, right in the beginning of his purport, he wants to show that Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. This is Bhagavatam is meant to engage us in the search for Krishna. And now our search begins in the first verse in the first shloka. Janmad yasya yataha. Because Vyasadeva, he was thinking that maybe in the future people may criticize. They may criticize that the worshippers of Krishna, they don't have any commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. Because Vyasadeva wrote Vedanta Sutra, so he wrote one sutra, Janmad Yasya Yataha. Same word, Janmad Yasya Yataha. The Vedanta Sutra. Compressed, concentrated knowledge. But then, he was feeling some despondency. Vyasadeva was thinking that I've compiled all the Vedic literatures, but something's missing. Is that he didn't explain the Adiras. He didn't explain the Adiras. Janmad, Janma Adi, as Prabhupada mentions here, and word for word meaning, we read Janma Adi. Adi means beginning. Janma, the birth, the beginning. Janma Adi, as we'll see in about 6 pages later in the purport, Prabhupada is quoting Vishnu Chakravartipad, where Vishnu Chakravartipad explains that Vyasadeva, he was not satisfied because he explained so much tattva and so many things in the Vedic literature, but he didn't explain about Adi Ras. The Adi Ras, the original Ras is Madhurya Ras, the loving exchange between Radha and Krishna. So then he went back, he picked up his palm leaves. He picked up his palm leaves. He got out his scroll, his quill, whatever they call it. And then he said, oh, I have to write about Adi Ras. So he said, but I've already mentioned In a sutra form, I've already mentioned about Adi Ras. This Adi Ras, the original Ras, is the dynamic loving exchange between Radha and Krishna. Divine love, the pure love between Radha and Krishna, is the original pure form of divine ecstasy, pure spiritual transcendental love between Radha and Krishna. So he said, yes, in the Vedanta Sutra, I wrote one sutra, Janmad Yasya Yataha. So he said, this sutra explains all about Adi Ras. So I will take this sutra and I'll put this on the crown of my book. My book will be a commentary on this shloka, on this sutra. So Vyasadeva wrote a commentary. He took one sutra from the Vedanta Sutra, which he wrote, and he wrote 18,000 shlokas as a commentary to that one shloka. Can you imagine? 18,000 shlokas to explain Adi Ras. What is Madhurya Ras? It's not a cheap thing. The Madhurya Ras is so confidential, so rahasya, so secret, that it takes 18,000 shlokas to explain it. First you have to explain what it isn't. Not neti, 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 neti. It's not this. It's not this material. You have to explain everything what it isn't. Then you have to explain everything about creation and everything about this material world. And once the living entity understands what is the whole situation, then after 15, or you can say after 12,000 shlokas, after Vyasa has spoken for 12,000 shlokas, then he can begin to explain what is Adi Ras, what is Madhurya Ras. First I have to explain what it isn't and give you a deep understanding of what is this, all these different tattvas. Before I can explain Adi Ras, we'll take 9 cantos, 12,000 shlokas. Then I can begin. Janmad Yasya Yataha. So just see what a great contribution Vyasadeva is giving us. This Srimad Bhagavatam, which we're beginning today on our study. This is our search for love. This is the beginning of our search for love. The first step, the first shloka. There's 18,000 steps. 18,000 steps to enter the threshold of Goloka Vrindavan, of Prem Dham, Rajabhumi, Leela Bhumi. 18,000 steps. So they say a journey of 1,000 miles. A journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. 1,000 miles, or you can say, 2,000 kilometers. A journey, or you say a yatra. You're going on a 2,000 kilometer yatra. You're going to walk from here to Kanyakumari and from Kanyakumari to Badrinath. So if you take the first step, then you're on your way. So we're on our way to Premadam, Goloka Vrindavan, Janmad Yasya Yataha. So he's taken this first shloka, or this sutra from Vedanta Sutra, and he's established this. This is the Srimad Bhagavatam. We'll explain how Krishna, Vasudeva, Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya cha Nanda Gopakumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha. That this Krishnaya Vasudevaya, this Krishnaya, this Vasudeva, this Krishna, he is the son of Devaki and Vasudeva. And he is the source of everything. Tejo Vri Mridam Nrisha. He is the source of all everything. Earth, water, fire, air, ether. Everything comes from Krishna. And also what comes from Krishna is love. Adi Ras, Janmad Yasya Yataha. Prabhupada also mentions that later. So we'll read a little bit more from the purport. Can you imagine if you sat down to write a commentary on Bhagavad Gita, and then you say, well, I'm going to write a commentary on this shloka. And then after writing 18,000 shlokas, you felt, yes, now my commentary is complete. Can you understand? Vyasadeva took one sutra, Vedanta Sutra, Janmad Yasya Yataha. What's so big about that? It's only 3 words. Janmad Yasya Yataha. Oh, 3 words, a few sentences, and that's it. 18,000 shlokas to describe 3 words. This is the Srimad Bhagavatam. And this is the essence. When he finished the 18,000 shloka, do you know what happened? Krishna appeared there. Krishna, that's why it's glorified. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu glorifies it, the Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna's sarup. It is the sarup of Krishna. Just like you take a piece of marble, if you're a stapati, you take a piece of marble and you have some idea in your mind, some idea in your mind that I'm going to make a deity of Shamsundar, of Krishna, standing in tribhanga pose, and he's playing flute, and he has a very mild smile on his face, and very beautiful, like this. So it's in your picture, Krishna's in your mind. Then chat chat, chip chip chip, tat tat tat, tat tat tat, tat tat tat, tat tat. Then 6 months later, from that piece of shapeless, or you can say that just square piece of marble, there's this beautiful murti of Krishna. Beautiful murti of Krishna. As manifested there. It was just a block of marble. It was just a square block of marble. And all of a sudden now it's a three-dimensional, beautiful three-dimensional length, width, depth, beautiful murti of Krishna. Archa Vigraha of Krishna. So beautiful. White marble. From the same way, when Vyasadeva was writing the Srimad Bhagavatam, on each shloka, he was making the body of Krishna. He was carving the body of Krishna. That's why in the Padma Purana it explains that the Bhagavatam, the different cantos of the Bhagavatam are the different parts of the body of Krishna. So when he's making a shloka murti of Krishna, Vyasadeva made a Krishna sarup made of shlokas, 18,000 shlokas. Oh, now I have to make Krishna's feet. I have to carve Krishna's Padma Charan, his lotus feet and his beautiful legs and thighs. Oh, let me see, I need a few shlokas here. I'd take a few shlokas out of my shloka bag. Now I take these shlokas here and I arrange them like this and like this and like this. Oh, now I have Krishna's feet and I have Krishna's thighs and his knees. That's the first canto and second canto, Krishna's lotus feet. Oh, let's see, but now I have to make his waist and his chest. Oh, I need some more shlokas. Okay, more shlokas. Second canto, third canto, fourth canto, fifth canto, sixth canto. Okay, now I have Krishna's neck and his chest and his arms, I have everything. But now I have to make his face. I have to make Krishna's face and carve Krishna's face and make very beautiful form. You know, Krishna's face has to be very, very beautiful and very, very sweet and very, very attractive to everyone. And this face, when I carve this face of Krishna, it must be so sweet and attractive that every man in the universe is attracted, and every woman in the universe is attracted, and every living entity, man, woman, young, old, any country, any place in the world, they must be attracted to the beauty of this face of Krishna. Okay, I go in my shloka bag. I'm more shlokas. Oh, I have to get so many shlokas now. Many, many shlokas. Very special, sweet shlokas. I have to get Gopi Geet, and Veno Geet, and Brahmar Geet, so many Geetas, okay. Oh. So nice. Tenth canto is Krishna's face. The best part of the person's face is his smile. The eyes, of course, convey many feelings and many expressions and many ideas are conveyed through the eyes. The eyes are the windows of the mind. The eyes are the windows of the mind. And the windows of the heart. So we can read a person's heart and his mind through his eyes. But sometimes we may not be sure. So then the smile confirms the position. So the mouth is very important. The smile is very important. So when Vyasadeva wanted to carve the smile on Krishna's face, then he said, oh, I have to take some very special shlokas here. He went inside, then he wrote five chapters of shlokas called Rasa Panchadhai to make Krishna smile. The five chapters of the Rasa dance are Krishna's smile. So then he thought, but now I need some mukut. We have to have some more mukut for Krishna. Because, you know, when you see murtis, usually they carve, not only they carve the face and the arms and legs, they carve Krishna's flute is there, carved in marble, and also his mukut, his crown is also carved many times, at least Narayan or Vishnu deities, they carve a crown is there. And some of the old deities in South India, they carve crown and everything out of granite or marble. So now he wants to make mukut, more mukut on Krishna, on his beautiful shloka murti of Krishna. But then he takes 11th and 12th canto, and he makes Krishna's mukut, his crown. So in this way, with the 18,000 shlokas, Vyasadeva, he created the beautiful Sarupa of Krishna, the Madhurya Rupa of Krishna. This is the Srimad Bhagavatam. That's why they do puja. Whenever they speak on Bhagavatam in Vrindavan or outside of Vrindavan, they do every day they do puja. They worship Krishna. This is the Shastra, the form of Krishna in this book. He's left this world. We don't see Krishna's form. We don't see him walking on the streets of Hastinapur. We don't see him riding in the streets of Indraprastha with Arjuna. Although we see him in the museum, speaking to Arjuna. Krishna is still here in Hastinapur and Indraprastha, whichever place this part is over here. But he's speaking here in his robotic murti. He's still speaking. Behold my mystic opulence. Arjun, you see before you the expanse of creation. Yeah. So, Krishna is here in his robot form. But the question is, where can I find Krishna? Krishna swadam o bhagate. He's gone to his own dham. It says here, dhamne, swadhamne. But this is his hari dham. The Srimad Bhagavatam is his hari dham. Because his Leela Bhumi is here. Brajabhumi is described in 10th canto. Vrindavan is described. So we have Krishna Sarup. And if you have Krishna Sarup, then you have to have his Leela Dham. It says this, says here, Dhamna Swena Sada Nirasta Kuakam. So this Dhamna, this is the Dham. So the Bhagavatam reveals the Sarup of Krishna and the Dham of Krishna. So we have such a great, an exciting journey as a beginning now. We're going on our way to Krishna. Prabhupada, one small book, On the Way to Krishna. We've begun our journey to Krishna in this first shloka. I'll read a little bit more Prabhupada's purport. The history of Bhagavatam is very glorious. It was compiled by Srila Vyasadeva after he had attained maturity and transcendental knowledge. He wrote this book under the instruction of Sri Naradaji, his spiritual master. Vyasadeva compiled all the Vedic literatures containing the four divisions of the Vedas, the Vedanta Sutras, the Puranas, and Mahabharata, and so on. But nevertheless, Vyasadeva was not satisfied. His dissatisfaction was observed by his spiritual master. And thus Narada advised him to write on the transcendental activities of Lord Sri Krishna. These transcendental activities are specifically described in the 10th canto of this work. But in order to reach to the very substance, one must proceed gradually by developing knowledge of the categories. The substance and categories. One is vastu. Vastu means substance, and categories is what? It means you have to pass through the different tattvas. Because when you study the Srimad Bhagavatam, you will study Srishti tattva, and this Prakriti tattva, and the three gunas, all the different tattvas are there. Jiva tattva, Srishti tattva, Krishna tattva, Prema tattva, Rasa tattva, Vaishnava tattva. You hear so many discussions about glorious Vaishnavas and the Varnashram tattva, Varnashram tattva. All these different tattvas are there. The Srimad Bhagavatam is natural. It is natural that a philosophical mind wants to know about the origin of creation. At night, he sees the stars in the sky. And he naturally speculates about their inhabitants. Prabhupada's making an analogy here. That if you look up in the sky at night, if you go in the countryside, you'll see thousands and thousands of stars. If you ever get away from all the city lights. And you see all these stars, and you may wonder, if you have a brain, or you may wonder, so many stars, so many, does anybody live up there? Just like we go out in the streets of Delhi and we chant, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. And nobody responds, because they're too busy dancing and drinking and smoking. No one, everybody walks by on their cell phones, blah, 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 blah. And we're, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. You Hari Bol, I'm busy. I'm busy on my cell phone. So we look up at the planets and all the stars and we think, anybody up there, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. But nobody answers. At least when Vyasadeva, when Shukamuni was born, and Shukamuni ran to the forest, and Vyasadeva, he shouted after his son, he said, Hari Bol, where are you going? Then the trees echoed in response. The trees, there was an echo, he heard an echo. Hey, wait, my son, come back. Just like when bhaktas join the ISKCON temple. When a devotee leaves his family and he wants to join and become a sadhu, then his mother says, son, wait, son, don't go. Come back, come back. But he doesn't turn around. He goes in one direction. No, I'm going to God. I'm going to God. This is Maya. This family life, this house is Maya. And so his mother simply hears her voice echoing, come back, come back, come back. Don't come back, right? We want to go back. We want to go back to Godhead. So the author, let's see, such inquiries are natural for man because man has developed consciousness, which is higher than that of the animals. The author, Srimad Bhagavatam, gives a direct answer to such inquiries. Vyasadeva says that Lord Sri Krishna is the origin of all creations. Krishna is not only the creator of the universe, but the destroyer as well. The manifest cosmic nature is created at a certain period by the will of the Lord. It is maintained for some time, and then it is annihilated by His will. Therefore, the supreme will is behind all cosmic activities. Of course, there are atheists of various categories who do not believe in a creator. But that is due to a poor fund of knowledge. The modern scientist, for example, has created space satellites. And by some arrangement or other, these satellites are thrown into outer space to fly for some time at the control of the scientist who is very far away. Similarly, all the universes with innumerable stars and planets are controlled by the intelligence of the personality of Godhead. So we'll stop there. So Prabhupada is writing this Bhagavatam, this Srimad Bhagavatam, which we are reading right now in the year 2001, was written in 1961. 1961 is 40 years ago. 40 years ago today, in 1961, Srila Prabhupada is writing. Because in 1961, the scientists had sent their first satellites, space satellites, orbiting the Earth, taking pictures of different situations up there. Weather satellites, they were called. So Prabhupada knew about that. So Prabhupada was so much in time, in tune with the times, that, oh, it's 1961. The scientists are proud. They're very proud. Look what we've done. We made satellites. So Prabhupada said, what's the big deal? What's the big deal? You're so proud of your satellite and you're taking so much credit. I have made one little tiny satellite that spins around for a few minutes and falls down and crashes in the desert somewhere and breaks into a million pieces. And you have to throw, you know, get $10 billion together and make another one. But you don't give any credit to God who has made millions of satellites. Each planet is a satellite. There was one famous ecologist, his name was Buckminster Fuller, and he wrote a book called Spaceship Earth. Spaceship Earth. This Earth is a spaceship. This Earth is a ship. Is a ship, is a Viman, is a satellite moving through space. Is a spaceship. It is moving through space. It is spinning in its orbit. And it's moving it's just another planet floating in this sky. So Prabhupada is saying, what about this? You're a scientist and you're sitting down here in NASA, or you're sitting down in the ground, and through your computer, you're controlling the movements of that little tiny satellite. But what about these millions of planets, which are like huge, huge satellites? Who's controlling them? Who's making them spin and turn in such a way that nobody's bouncing into the other planet? It's not like Ring Road, when you go out in your car in Ring Road and you smash into the other car. Whoop! You know, the planets aren't bumping into each other. Whoop! Hey! Earth, you hit me. Watch where you're going. It's not that the moon planet is bumping into the sun planet, and the sun planet is bumping into the earth planet. Hey! They're moving so precisely and so perfectly because there's great intelligence behind them. And that intelligence is Krishna. Krishna's too Bhagavan Swayam. So Prabhupada wants to show by this analogy, you're proud of one little scientist who made a spaceship. But what about the supreme scientist, Krishna, who's made millions and millions of spaceships called planets, graha, Millions, Ananta, there's millions of planets that are moving at tremendous speeds and no planets are crashing into other planets. It's explained by the scientists themselves that if it moves one millimeter closer to the Earth planet, do you know what will happen to the Earth planet? The Earth planet will just blow up. It'll just become melted. It'll become chocolate syrup. Or maybe vanilla. It'll just become chocolate syrup. All the bodies, all the steel, all the plastic, everything will melt into a blob. It'll just be a blob of chocolate syrup. If the sun comes one millimeter closer, everything will melt, burn to ashes. And if the sun moves away from the Earth planet, if it moves away one millimeter, do you know what will happen? It'll be so cold, everything will freeze solid. Dry ice. It'll be just like everyone swallowed a kilo of dry ice. You'll just freeze to death. Everything will turn into ice cubes. Be a Kratu ice cube and a Mohan Rupa ice cube. It'll be frozen in space. I'll be sitting here, if the sun moves away one millimeter, I'll say, ah! Like a frozen, like an ice cube. You know, and some brahmachari downstairs right now who's stealing some mahaprasadam, he's eating some, you know. He'll be frozen. Like an ice cube. And then maybe millions of years, other people from other planets, they will come here and they will inhabit this Earth planet and they'll find this brahmacharya. And they'll try to think, what is he doing? You know, he's frozen. He's been frozen in ice. And then they'll say, no, I read some stories about ISKCON. No, I think he was stealing Mahaprasadam. And he was frozen. He was caught frozen. So, the sun planet, these planets are moving with such precision, such exact course they are moving, that if they change their course one millimeter, everything will be total destruction. The whole universe will freeze or be burned up. Who is doing this? Who is that great scientist? Who is that mastermind? That great scientist? That is Krishna. Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. So Prabhupada is glorifying Krishna. What a great scientist he is. So we'll stop there. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. So tomorrow we can continue. This verse you may speak on for months. No problem. Any questions or comments? The question is, who's speaking this verse? Is it Vyasadeva or Shukadeva? Vyasadeva is speaking this verse, or is Shukadeva speaking this verse? As far as I'm understanding, Vyasadeva wrote down the verse and later Shukadeva spoke it. The question is, who's speaking this verse? It's the first verse. So Vyasadeva wrote all the Vedas, but he was also in the audience when Shukadeva was speaking. Is that what he's writing, what Shukadeva is speaking? That's what you're saying? All the verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam were written down by Vyasadeva. These verses, all these verses in the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam are written by Vyasadeva. Shukadeva Goswami begins to speak the verses which were written by Vyasadeva in the second canto with verse number 1. So this verse is written by Vyasadeva and it's spoken by whoever speaks it. He's asking a question, are these Vyasadeva's personal words or are these Shukadeva's words? The whole Bhagavatam is written by Vyasadeva. So the whole Bhagavatam, that's why I wanted to ask this question. The whole Bhagavatam, everything in the Bhagavatam is written by Vyasadeva and then Shukadeva speaks it later. What he heard from Vyasadeva, what he read from Vyasadeva. Is that clear? He's asking a question. Because Vyasadeva is Trikala Gya. So just like you go, if you go and get Brigu done right now, when you go and get your Brigu done, it'll tell you who you're coming with. And your Brigu will say, you will come here with so-and-so. If you bring a friend with you, it's already written down. So Brigu knows who you're going to come with when you come to meet him. So Vyasadeva being, just like Valmiki, he wrote the Ramayana before the Lord Ram came. You understand? So there's so many conversations in the Ramayana. Sita said, Vishishta Muni said, Dasara said, right? You know, Ramayana. So in the same way, Vyasa Muni, he knew that this Shukadeva is going to come and Parikshit is going to come, he's going to ask these questions. He knew the scenario because he's Trikala again, so he's writing it all down. This is his Spurti. This is called Leela Spurti. Just like you can say, how can Rupa Goswami sit down and write Lalita Madhav? Or how can he write Don Kali Kamudi? Rupa Goswami is sitting at Terakodamba in Nandagram 500 years ago, and the Don Leela took place 5,000 years ago. So how is he able to write that Lalita said this, and Madhav Mangal said this, and Krishna said this? How can he do that? It happened 5,000 years in the past, or it happens 5,000 years in the future. Because he has Leela Spurti. Because of his pure consciousness, he can see the past, present, or future. And this is a Nitya Leela. This is the pastime is going on in the material world. Somewhere is going on. The pastimes of the Lord. So Vyasadeva, he can tune into some material universe. Through his meditation, he can tune in and he can see. Just like Mother Yashoda, she looked in Krishna's mouth at Brahmandagat, and she saw inside his mouth, she saw the whole universe, and then she saw inside her Krishna's mouth, she saw Krishna inside of Krishna's mouth, and she saw Mother Yashoda inside of Krishna's mouth, looking inside of Krishna's mouth, inside of Krishna's mouth. So how is that? Because it's going on somewhere else in another universe also. So Vyasadeva, when he's writing it, he's also seeing it. It's not that he's writing something that will happen in the future. It's also going on in some other universe. The Parikshit's there and Shukadeva's there and it's going on. So they have such power of vision that they can go to other universes and write all these things down. You understand? In other words, the question is, what's your question again? Did Vyasadeva, did Shukadeva Goswami hear the Srimad Bhagavatam while he was in the womb of his mother for, 13 years or whatever? Or did he hear it later when he was called back, when he was attracted back by the Rasayana Katha of the Shlokas of Bhagavatam, and then he sat down with his father and heard it? There are two different versions of this story as far as I know. So this verse is directly, which is your question, finally getting the answer. This verse is directly spoken by Vyasadeva. And as when you write any work, you always write Mangalacharana. So the first line, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, is his Mangalacharan. And Dima, of course, he uses the word Dimahi, which is also Gayatri, and so many other things are discussed in the purport. But Dimahi means offer my intelligence, I offer my very self at the lotus feet of this Vasudeva, the son of Devaki. So this is his Mangalacharana. Then this verse, Janmad Yasya Yataha, is spoken directly by Vyasadeva. So when I write a book, what the standard is, the author, when he's writing a book, he doesn't put any quotation marks on the paragraph. He's just writing. And then I say, then Srila Prabhupada said, then I'll put quotations. And then I'll stop using these little, what we call quotation marks, these two little marks like this, two little. Then I'll stop using those and then I'll write. So then you can say, well, where's Mahanidhi speaking? What's he saying? Well, you just look in the book where there's no quotes, that's my speaking. Then when it's quoted, then it'll say Srimad Bhagavatam and it quotes, Chaitanya Charitamrita quote. So he wants to take the position that in one level, which he's right, every verse is spoken by Vyasadeva. Braj Bhakti Vilas is also right. It's called win-win situation. Braj Bhakti is also right because these introductory verses, before we get into all the quotations of who's speaking, which you can sort out by looking at, sutra speaking and quoting Shukadeva, they're the personal words of Vyasadeva. And you can just trace it out, read through the verses until he says Sutta spoke or Shukadev's whatever. So the point is that many, many verses, which Braj Bhakti is saying, are directly spoken by Vyasadeva. Because Vyasadeva's Ishtadev is Krishna. So this particular verse is the essence. As I mentioned that Krishna's Kaviraj, in the beginning of each chapter, he has a Sanskrit verse, which is the essence of the whole chapter. And then he goes into the Bengali. So he summarizes. So in the same way, Vyasadeva, he wants to say, well, listen, I'm writing this book, and I'm going to quote all these other different sages and rishis, but I have something to say too. Let me speak something here. So this is the outpouring of the heart. In other words, he's establishing Krishna, my Ishtadeva is Krishna, and who is he? He's the Supreme Personality of God and the cause of all causes. And what is he? He's always relishing Adi Ras. He's always enjoying Madhurya Ras with Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan. Okay, now I've said that, now let me get on to the story. Basically, that's what he's establishing in this verse. That I worship Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan, who are the source of divine love, and all love originates from them, and that is the perfection of love, Janmad Yasya Yataha, this Adi Ras. So now I've established the goal, and my Ishtadeva, and I've expressed my heart, now I'm satisfied. Because he was not satisfied, as I mentioned, he was despondent. So now with this verse, he expresses his satisfaction. Just like if you have a nice meal, if you have nice prasadam, how do you express your satisfaction? Right? There's one Hindi verse which I don't know, but some of the people, they say this, some of the Gaudiya sannyasis, they say this, that preaching is actually the, when a person eats very nice prasadam and he's very satisfied, then he belches.
Boop, boop.
Ah, yeah, very good. Yeah, that's quite good, quite enough. So he said that preaching is actually the belching of bhajan. The belching of bhajan is preaching. That when one does lots of bhajan, lots of hearing and chanting and remembering and serving and worshipping Krishna and Guru, and his heart is full of bhajan, then when he belches, that comes out as pravachan. There's some Hindi shloka, I don't know the shloka, one of my friends knows the shloka. It's very, very, in Hindi it's very nice, it's a poetic, you know. So this is, in other words, if there's no bhajan, there's no pravachan. There can't be any proper pravachan. So if you don't eat anything, you can't belch. You can't have that satisfied. So this verse is the heart satisfaction. This is the satisfaction, because he was despondent. Yesterday he was unhappy. Now he's satisfied. He's taken one verse from Vedanta Sutra, and then he's explained this verse, and Ono Bhagavate Vasudevaya, and the Mangalacharana, and this verse, I'm establishing my Ishtadev, and the goal of life is to develop pure love for, to enter into this Adi Ras, to develop pure love for Radha and Krishna and serve them in some way, and now I'm satisfied.